Welcome back to another episode of the DAP Fitness Business Podcast. Today is episode 13, and we are talking part three of running group programs, group coaching programs. Hello, Dan. How are you today?
Hey. Hey, Tom. Very well. I say very well. I can feel it. I might be able to hear it a little bit as well, but I'll battle through because, you know, strong man.
You're fighting something.
It's a battle, but I don't actually feel too bad. You can just feel, sense something is there, and then I'm just gonna. It's too late at this point, but you still try to fight it off with orange and paracetamol.
you should check out my video on YouTube. How to boost your immune system. Nice, it's very good.
Does that include orange?
Ultimate orange.
Ah, nice.
As a decongestant to help you not sleep.
I just think it's too late at this point. It's either going to get me or I can try and do damage limitations. All right. I don't really suffer from that. The man flu. Too busy.
Too busy hustling and grinding to be hulking out with any flu.
Ironically, it's probably why I'm like this anyway. So yeah.
Okay, so in the last two podcasts we've done, because obviously when we decided to do how to do group coaching, we didn't realize what a big beast it was going to be, and we should have, really, being like, you know, expert coaches and stuff and gurus and things, but yeah, so we did part one, which was talking about the preamble and leading up to it, and then getting people into the sales process. Then last episode, we talked about how we onboard people, how we deliver the coaching calls, if we do coaching calls, how we deliver check-ins, that sort of thing. And what we missed last time when we were talking was about any apps that we use. So, and I know we have talked about apps before in a previous podcast. And so we're just going to do a little quick bit on the potentially how you can streamline things with an app, a coaching app to do that. And then today we're going to talk about what happens at the end of the group coaching, because obviously all good things come to an end. And we want to, if we can, extend people's time with us, and if they need it, of course, and extend their coaching time and their coaching experience with us. So that's a pretty, did I miss anything out? Is that the?
No, that's it. Yeah. Sounds good.
Cool. So, okay. So let's go straight into delivery through coaching apps. Now, I use PT Distinction. Dan, you use something else?
Yeah, Apotheo is what we use now. We've used quite a few different ones over the years. Mm. Yeah, Apotheo, the main one.
Is Apotheo just nutrition? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Well, it's a nutrition-based software. You can actually link up. So if you had sheets for training, it's like Google Sheets, you can link the sheets to it. But yeah, it's built for being specifically around nutrition.
Cool. Yeah, and conversely, PT Distinction is built around training, as in workouts, and you can link in nutrition stuff. I think they do a nutrition. There is like a calorie tracker on it, but it's not great at the moment. So I use a different nutrition app for that. Okay, so if we've got so the whole purpose of group coaching is to make things simpler, make things scalable. So Dan, how do you in Apotheo make it less of a headache for you and allow you to work with multiple people?
Yeah, even in the actual software itself, it's got a groups function. So there's an actual section that you can set up specific for a group coaching program. And then in there, you can customize pretty much everything. So for how often you want contact points, where you want them, what style you want, whether you want the messages to go at certain points in the week or so, you, like we talked about in the last one where we had potentially like daily messages could go out. You could have that set up in there, and then you could change the frequency of the check-ins to be, you know, 2 weeks or midpoint, like we spoke about last time. The other cool thing that it does is you can preset when you want specific tasks or actions or habits, for example, to be allocated. So you can build a bank of habits, and at week two you can say, right, I want this to everyone to get allocated these habits at week two. And at week three, they're going to get these. At week four, they get these. So you, as it builds and people get better at, say in the first week, you might give them one habit, one simple habit or two maybe to just nail. And then they nail that. And then the second week, you might build on that. So it's like, here's another one. But you can automate that. So you don't have to manually do it. That's quite a cool addition, I thought, to software.
Yeah, you can do something similar in PT Distinction, and I think you probably can do it in most of the other decent apps out there. And the idea here is, because it's a group program, we don't want to be having to do that ourselves. So if you've got 20, 30 people in a group, of course, you don't want to have to get up on a Monday morning and text them all to remind them to do this thing or update their habit or whatever else. So the group messaging and the group function is an integral part of that. And I think if you are going to run group programs and you're going to have that sort of stuff, the benefit of having the app in terms of the cost to time benefit is a no-brainer for me. Have you run group programs using just things like Google Sheets and stuff like that before?
Yeah, tried to.
Yeah.
Tried to, yeah.
It's possible, but it's a lot of work. So potentially something you can do at the beginning, but I think as you move into more clients, it's probably a good idea to
change. Yeah, because it's just the ability to be able to schedule, but even on those where you can have those, say, like habits, but you can even schedule, so this week's focus is going to be on this, and you could put a video and that could be scheduled to go out. So like we said before, having your email software to almost underpin everything and send reminders about what they're doing this week, and you can also use the software to do that similar job, and it just compounds the effect of having the email software underpinning it, but then the software from the training or coaching is being able to deliver that as well.
One good feature that I've used in PT Distinction is and this isn't an advert of PT Distinction because I'm not affiliated with them at all, it's just what I use. There are other things you can use. But they have a thing where you can set up pre-made packages. So if, say, like I've got a workout for, say, full body, or like a workout program for that, I've got one for like volume workouts, that sort of thing. If you've got the specific links, specific habits, all that sort of stuff, when you build a pre-made package, you can just drop all those things in. So when someone signs up from your landing page or wherever, automatically when they create their account, with their like with this one form to create the account, which you can link to, and you can link that one form to that package. So when they sign up, all the stuff gets added straight to there. And that includes all things like the messages that go out, or the habits that get, like you were saying about habits 1 week, you know, the next things, you can program all that in. So just with essentially filling in one form, they will have all the stuff they need, and that package is set up then for the group. So, which in terms of reducing your workload is absolutely massive.
Yeah. Sounds good. That all of that stuff should be there, like you say, to just take that element of time away from you. Mm-hmm. So you might have to spend a bit of time at the beginning, just pre-planning and prepping this stuff, but it's worth it. And then it could just be repeated. So the whole point of that process is it's just a simple, repeatable system to just run again. I was going to say, we run, because our training is done through Train Heroic, we've run, we don't really have a group as such, although I have used it for free stuff in the past. When the pandemic was on, we did a free training program. And the really cool thing I liked about that was everyone's on. If you sign up to the same program, everyone's on it. So what happened was, I didn't know this, stupidly, I should have looked at it, but I didn't know this happened at the time. People were commenting on the session going, oh my God, this is amazing. Oh, really, like super hard this session, blowing all this stuff. And everyone else was then commenting, oh yeah, I found this as well. And it just created this sense of community through the training program, which I didn't really, I didn't know it was going to happen. But then it just, that ability for everyone to like interact, people, strangers who don't know each other, was really cool.
I think that is a, I mean, and again, we were talking before about it is that community thing, isn't it? Where if you get in a group program, building that community is so important. And if you are building like you said, comments around a specific workout, we've had similar things like in the Facebook group, like when we ran Target Gain years ago, which was basically just bodybuilding group, the workouts were on specific weeks. So when people were starting it, they're like, I've got this workout. And because they all had names, like there was one called now that that escalated quickly, it's a leg workout with like stupid volume in it, and people comment saying, oh yeah I got that, it's awful, and then people are like, oh I got that tomorrow, oh no, you know, it was quite a nice thing, and it did build that community. And I think that's something, again, people need to consider with a group program. It's not just about delivering to a load of people, it's making sure you get something back from those people at the same time.
Yeah, that aspect was really good. But yeah, other than that, in terms of the software, there's nothing else I think of that we really, you know, I mean, at the moment, this is slightly different. I mean, we'll tag it into this, but we use Circle is used as our like academy base, which then hosts, you've got a training element in it, because what we do is we just sync everything from trainer work into there so people can have access to it. So we do use that as a base for it. It probably would work with group stuff, but I would just, like we said, probably we said this in the last one, in the first video, it's like the more simple you can keep this stuff, the better. Yeah.
I mean, we used to, I think I said this last time, I used to have Kajabi for delivering and Kajabi was a really good platform, but it's just another thing people have to log into. I mean, you've got a training app and you've got a Facebook group, and it's just another thing, isn't it? Sometimes that can just overload people.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so that's the apps. We did that quickly because I know we didn't talk about that last time. So what we want to talk about now is we've done our 6-week program. We've done our and obviously everyone's got incredible, really brilliant results, and they're all really happy and everything else. We're coming to the end now. There's potentially three things that can happen at the end of a group program, I think, anyway. Hopefully that's right. Firstly, they have everything they need. They've accomplished the task they want to accomplish. And so they finish the program. The second one is they might rerun the program because it's if you've got something that's ongoing, they might want to do it again because they like the accountability. Or there is another coaching product that you sell, provide, that they could then move into. So say if your group program was a beginner's guide to working out, and then your next program is an intermediate's guide to working out, that's a natural progression. So I think there's three, maybe there's a fourth of monthly recurring option within that program. That's something I do with Build. What do you think? Any missed any?
No, I agree with like the options. I just think it depends on what the outcome is you want from the group program. And if the group program is designed to then feed, let's say, your one-to-one coaching, then that should be the main aim. So you have that group program, deliver an amazing service, and then the next logical step should be, right, I want to do this, but one-to-one now. It doesn't have to be, like you say, people might go, I'm happy, done here. But if that's your kind of product ladder or something, like you're moving people across, then have a process to then get them from the group into one-to-one, and that could be done through email, like in terms of the next steps positioned, like the next logical steps, the offer in there, or we've in the past, depending on how many people you've had in the group program, we've just jumped on calls with people and had calls to discuss the program, got feedback, found out all the things from them, and then gone, oh, by the way, like, do you want to come work with us in one-to-one, because you know, we think you'd be a great fit for it. This is what we do. And then that's been really successful. I get that you might not be able to do that. The bigger your group program goes, you probably potentially don't want to have hundreds of calls with people. So that negates it. But it's also a really cool, easy way to do things when it's a bit smaller. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think that's the next step, isn't it? So whatever program, you've got three options. Whatever those is, what those are, you want to know potentially what is the best fit for. So it's kind of like, you know, when you're, before you've even taken on a client, you have like a little interview or questionnaire with them. Now at the end of the program, we want to do that little interview or questionnaire again to find out, okay, what's your needs now? We knew what your needs were here at the beginning, because obviously then you've gone into the program, so it fitted our program, what we provided. Now at the end, you know, what's your needs now? So I think having that, or even offering that that sort of I call it a progress review, and some people call it like other things or whatever, some, you know, wanky guru term, but I have like progress review, and the idea, and I do this in my one-to-ones as well, is that once you've finished a certain period, like a 12-week period or an 8-week cycle or whatever, at the end of it, you have a meeting to say, what's next? You know?
Yeah.
Is that something you do? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. Having that at least whatever that next step is, or I guess what I'm getting at is it might come to a page where you potentially just have a process and it doesn't involve you having to speak to them, but that process would have to be pretty dialed in and tested from, you know, going through the group program, then okay, this is the next steps. But yeah, for me, I've always had calls when we've done the group stuff, and to be fair, like, it's been the most successful way. I remember having group programs of sort of 40, 50 people in, and then converting sort of 25, 30 people into one-to-one coaching, which was like, that's an incredible conversion rate. Right? But it was because, like we spoke about in the past, you've got 4, 5, 6 weeks, maybe longer, 8 weeks for a group program. You've got that amount of time with these people to tick off all those boxes to do with like 7-11-4, like everything getting put into that. And then that phone call at the end just becomes, like you say, a chance to review things, talk about the program itself, find out some feedback, and then go, cool, this is next. And then they're just like, let's get onto it. Yeah,
we do a similar thing with Build. So at the end of the Build 8-week program, this is the Build body. It's essentially to set up the foundation as to, you know, they might have got the result they want, but we send out an email to say, we're coming to the end. I think this is week 6 or week 6.5. We send out an email and it says, you know, we're coming to the end of Build. You know, I'd like to know how you got on. You know, can you either email me back, or we can have a chat on the phone, or because we have the open office meetings, I invite them to come to one of the open office meetings on a Friday. So there's a load of ways they can potentially talk about it. And the actual, from Build, there's a monthly recurring. So it goes into, say, a group coaching monthly model. It's the same, obviously, same delivery and everything else, but it's once they've done the 8 weeks, it's like, well, would you like to continue? And that's been pretty successful, to be fair, with since I've been running that option, rather than running the program again, which I used to do.
Yeah, just keeping it going. So then, but you have to have gone through that first part to get into it, right?
Yeah, so the 8 weeks, I always, and this is the same in my one-to-one program, the 8 weeks is, let's nail all those problems that are holding you back, which are causing these issues. Over 8 weeks, it's unlikely you're going to solve all those problems, because that's just, you know, that's honest, isn't it? You're not going to solve your life's problem in 8 weeks, but you're going to be much closer to the end to actually solving that. So how long do you think you need? A couple more months? Great. Just keep going for a couple more months.
Nah, 6 weeks, mate. That's all.
6 weeks. 6 weeks, and that's it. And then they have to join for another 6 weeks.
That 6 week problem solved. 30 years of chronic dieting, under eating. 6 week shred sorted.
Exactly. 6 weeks, and then it's 6 weeks to the next one, because they will have gained all the weight back again, so they can do it again. See, that's the skills, mate. Big brain time there.
I like those, that approach to having it. We did, I think, I know we tested something similar, but it became was, I think they came into, this is what happens when our one-to-one coaching, and then when they kind of move away from the one-to-one coaching, we did do that, like a standalone reoccurring where they could just get access to the training programs, and then they could ask questions and whatever. But it kind of worked for some people, but I found that once you take away a lot of that accountability in that area, it just fizzles out anyway. That's kind of gone then.
Yeah, we had it where I used to have it in my before Bill came along. I used to have it that if they did one of my group programs, they could pay to keep the workouts and the nutrition plan and all that sort of stuff. But there was no meetings; they just paid a nominal fee to keep that. And yeah, I noticed that people, it just fizzled out. And again, from my point of view as a coach, I thought, I'm not really doing what I need to do as a coach here. They're not, okay, they might be liking the workouts and doing that, but without the accountability, I don't think they're getting the right service. So that's why I stopped all that. And people have asked me, oh, can I just keep the workouts? I'm like, no, we don't do that anymore. And this is the reason why, because you won't get the results you want.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes back to everything, doesn't it? People just think, oh, can you just do me a workout plan? Or can you give me a meal plan?
Me a diet plan.
It's not really solving. It's not really what people want, is it? That's not going to solve the problem. Yeah. I think.
Can you write me a diet plan? Yeah, 2 secs, just off to ChatGTP. Come back. Here's your diet plan, 50 quid.
It's down, mate. It's down.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. My computer's recharging. It's updating. 24 hours later, it's still updating.
Oh, dear.
I have to do the tried and tested over to bodybuilding.com, grab a workout with some orange roofy and sort of 6 cups of oats in, and then bring that back and not change any of it. Just there they are. Oh, I can't get orange roofy in the UK. Yeah, you can. Maybe if you import it from the USA.
Did I ever tell you about that? When the first person I ever worked with, and the screenshot, the nutrition plan was screenshots of MyFitnessPal, and it had a American style oats in there.
Really?
Like, don't worry, you can't get these here. You can only get them in the States. It's like, oh, why don't you just change it?
Why is it in my nutrition plan then? That's brilliant. Yeah, this is a cut and paste plan. And I'm telling you it's a cut and paste plan, but can you still give me £100 for it, please?
Yeah, I won't mention any names.
No, I can probably guess who it was, but anyway, let's move on. So at the end of the group program, we want to have some method of establishing where the client is. So that could be, like we said, like an interview on either phone or on Zoom. And just a note here, if you are doing that on Zoom, you know, I always ask, is it okay if we record this? Because it can lead into a great video testimonial. And, you know, obviously people say, oh, but what if they say, no, I can't record it? Yeah, still do the review because it's for the customer. But, you know, they might be willing to help you out. I've done an interview with someone. We did the whole recorded interview. And I said at the end, oh, are you okay for this to go on my web page and YouTube and that? He said, oh, I don't really want to be on YouTube. I was like, okay, great, no problem. You know, it didn't make a difference to me. It was just, although it does because I didn't have a testimonial, but I was like, it's fine because the review was for them to review what they've done.
Yeah.
And he did actually come back and become a customer again in the future. So yeah, even though if they're not going to give you the testimonial, still do the review. Or the form. A lot of people are more into doing forms, I think. Certainly with a group program, I found that more people are willing to fill out forms than go on a Zoom call, unless they've been on all the open office and Zoom calls through the program, in which case they don't mind. Have you found that with yours?
I think forms definitely, because it's easier. But then even then, it was like making sure that form was, you got what you needed from the form, because it's very easy for someone to just do a form, tick, well, I've done that now. So I think developing that form with the outcome that you want in mind. So maybe tapering some of those questions or choosing those questions specifically so you get what you need to then go, right, cool, yeah, it's helped me, but also I can use this to use as feedback and marketing, because it's not as maybe impactful as a video when someone's there actually talking about it, but you can still use it to market the effectiveness of the program for next time. But we'd use something, I know you get all the progress markers or anything that happens throughout that process, but potentially even using some of the questions from a form at the beginning of the process, and then maybe just catching up to see what the process is, what effect it's had on that from the start point. And then you can use two of the questions together, okay, as a way to show this is what's happened throughout that process.
Yeah, because if you have a form at the beginning, you can pull both forms up in a split screen, can't you? Yeah. And then if you're doing the review or whatever else, you can say, this is what you said at the beginning. What's the situation now? You know, is that still the case?
Yeah.
You know, certainly with the forms, and you're saying about the questions, don't have things like don't have things which are yes or no questions, because you want people to expand their answers. So for example, you know, when you say to people, did you lose weight? There's only like a short answer to that, like yes, 20 kilos or whatever, you know. But
did you have fun? Yes.
Yeah, did you have fun? Yeah. Would you recommend it to other people? Yes. You know, have a question which encourages an expanded answer. So rather than did you lose weight or how much weight did you lose, say how did the changes affect your life?
Yeah.
Because that's not a yes or no answer. And that's obviously the stuff that people want to hear, is how this program is going to change their life.
Yeah.
You know, what were the problems you were facing beforehand? You know, yeah. Rather than what's your goal for the program? You know, lose weight. Yeah. What were the problems you're facing beforehand? I couldn't get into my clothes. I felt fat on the beach, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And think even on that at the end of it, thinking back to the answers you gave and the questionnaire before we started, tell me about how this has changed your life or whatever, when you put it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've got a list of all sort of, it's about 13 questions, I think. Don't ask them all, but those are the questions that it depends how the conversation goes, doesn't it? If someone has answered, say someone said about this changed their life in a previous question, you then don't ask the question, how has it changed your life? Because that just doesn't follow, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, it's good.
Remember we talked about I think it was episode 5, we talked about how to get social proof without before and after pictures. This is a prime example of how to do that, because you don't need a before and after picture for someone saying, my life was absolutely transformed. I wasn't able to do a pull-up before I worked with you, and now I'm able to do 3 pull-ups. I'm absolutely over the moon. I think that was one that one of my clients said this weekend. And I was like, that's fantastic. I don't need to see before and afters. That's a fantastic achievement.
Yeah. It's all relevant to, isn't it, to the audience that you then want to market to again. Because like you say, if you've got someone who then goes from fearing eating out in restaurants to then after they've done the program go, I now have know how to approach going out. I don't have to worry about where we go or what food's an option. That's a huge thing, because you know that other people have those feelings. And
that's the transformation, isn't it? Yeah, it's gone from one to one. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say that there's so many things you can get from that, from feedback. Like even if you did do the videos and they were like, Carl, I don't really want to be on social media, then you could just use the audio. Like we do that all the time, because we don't use before and afters in our coaching, but we use audio like discussions, especially if they don't want their face to be on there. So we use that mainly because of the cultural differences sometimes as well, like people aren't happy, so we just use the audio. It's great.
Yeah, it's, I mean the whole thing about it is that when you've been through that process of, okay, you found your ideal customer, you've built the perfect product for that customer, they've got incredible results, they've come all the way around the full circle, getting really good feedback and really good testimonials at the end only helps you target that customer, as in new customers, even better. And it really, we talked about niche before, you know, if you've got 30 people in a program who are all over 30, busy professionals, you know, have lost weight, have gained muscle, that sort of thing. And you go into your content and say, look at all these 30 people they're all busy professionals who've all gained weight, lost or gained muscle, lost fat, whatever. It gets that social proof, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's what you want, isn't it? You want one of those, proof is one of the key factors, isn't it? In like influence, ongoing. You can get that in there, tick that off. And you just have to worry about dealing with the other stuff. Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of people, certainly sometimes I've seen with coaches, is that they get to the end of their group coach and the sort of the momentum's gone a little bit at the end. It's like, oh, thank fuck that's over. You know, that 8 weeks, you know, thank God that's stopped, that's finished. And they're already on to promoting their next group program, but all the momentum has gone, everything's gone. And they're not thinking about, well, can some of these people still go into the same program? Can I get them on monthly recurring revenue? They've seen it as like, that's the stop, that's the end.
Yeah.
So the motivation's gone, and it's not about how can I continue this? How can I make these people's lives better? How can I at the same time improve my revenue?
Yeah.
And I think it does help get that momentum back up again, especially if you're talking about, if you've got, say, got an 8-week program, in week 6, you're talking about reflection. It really does help that.
Really important there though as well is, if you are in that process where you're going and you're like, oh, momentum drops, like engagement drops at certain points, and then you're not getting feedback because you're like, oh, deflated, and like, oh, no one's really engaged anymore. It's not like, and then you're like, okay, then you just, it fizzles out. Whereas you need to understand why that's happened. So go back and ask the questions. Like, is there anything about this program that you'd want to be different? Or what are your thoughts on how it was delivered? Could we do anything differently? Could we change how it's been put across? And then you go, oh, like 8 weeks was too long. Well, maybe we just do for 6 weeks next time. And then we can maybe stop that from happening. Potentially, I don't know. But if you're not getting the feedback and you keep running group programs that fizzle out, like, what's the point?
Yeah. And it's a lot harder to get people into them because you've, as you keep running a group program, the amount of people you've got to reach to get them into that, it's a lot harder, isn't it? Because originally at the beginning of any program you run, you're always going to have like your immediate followers who are potentially going to come into it. But if they've gone into your program and they've not really had a good experience, that does feed back into other people, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Cool. So we've done the coaching app. We've done the three things. Anything we've missed that we should be covering towards the end of the group program? I think we talked about feedback, didn't we, about improving it for the next time. What's your thoughts on should you run back-to-back programs or should you have a break in between programs?
You can do both. I usually do both. It depends on what your outcome is at the end of it, because potentially if you want to run these, then move people into the next stage of your business, like one-to-one, then you might not run them as back-to-back. I mean, you could still do it. And then this could get to a stage where these programs could, in theory, become evergreen. So it could just run. You don't have to have a specific time when they launch and this is the time when it happens. They could become this program that gets the group programs, especially, could be run evergreen and just ongoing. But yeah, so to answer that, I think you can do both, but I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think you can. I've certainly done both. We've, in the past, we've run Target Lean as both an evergreen, sort of like you can join at any time. We've run it as a back-to-back program. So once you've done 6 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it was, you could then re-sign to do the next 8 weeks. And we've run it as we're going to do it for a one-off, and then the next one's going to be in a couple of months' time. I can't say any of them was more effective than the other in terms of generating revenue. They all generated revenue. I think that the key thing there is if you're going to run them back to back, you've really got to be on point with your follow-up and in your content creation, so that when you come into, say, 2 weeks before the end of one program, you're already seeding content for the start of the next one. And also you've got to be wary about this, is that if you're going to run back-to-back programs, what's the mental load on you for that? Because you've got to get that energy again to start that program again. And I think for some people that can actually, talking about work-life balance, it can be burnout.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It depends on how that product or that service works, doesn't it? Because if there is a lot of, even though it's a group program, I mean, ideally, you could probably get it to a stage where there is less and less involvement if you can just refine it. And then it becomes into that process where it's just how often can you run it with getting people into it? But I do appreciate, like, if you're running it probably potentially more so, whereas a process where you're building into it, then the launch, then that side, you're building up that way, that's a lot more draining physically and mentally. So you might be better off having some time in between, but it depends on how that's set up, isn't it? Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah, it depends on, again, if you're actually going to launch something or if it's just we're opening up. There's a difference between having a launch for a product, isn't it? And then, you know, we're opening our intake again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have, say, for example, you could have a program that you always take on new customers or new clients on the first week of the month or the first week of every 2 months, whatever. That's not really a launch because it's a recurring thing that's happening on a regular basis. Like, you know, when you get client inquiries and you say, oh, can you tell me about whatever your program is? Yeah, here's the stuff. When's the next one starting? It's starting at the end of the month. Or you've got that, we're going to launch it every 3 months. And then, yeah, you've got that big sort of builder. It's a little bit different way you market it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It comes down to that model that suits your business and the outcomes that you want. And then also your involvement. How much do you want to be involved in it? How is the, even going right back to the beginning, like, is that audience there like you said a moment ago, to be able to then run this multiple times back to back to back to back? Or are you going to have to be driving a lot more to build your audience to then filter those people into it at the front end? So there's a lot of considerations there to get in place.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer there. It's definitely what suits your business.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything we've missed, Dan? I think that's. I know today we said we were going to be shorter. Yeah. Is there anything that we've missed potentially on running group programs and what to do at the end?
I think so. I think it's just been a massively comprehensive for me. Yeah. Stage video into group programs. I mean, the biggest thing for me is like understanding if it's something that you want to do, because I think there is a danger that coaches think group programs are going to solve my problems that I've got for no one applying for one-to-one, so I need to run a group program. But that's really not solving the problem here. There's a lot more stuff going on. If you're not getting people signed up to one-to-one, the group program's not going to solve it. So
And I think the other key thing to remember is that when you're talking about a group program and how many people you've got to get in to make the decent amount of money, say if you need like 10 people in to make us the same money as you would say with 2 one-to-ones, where is your time better spent there? Because there's a factor rule, isn't there, that if you want to have 10 sales, yeah, you've got to have 100 people interested or thereabouts, 100 people expressing interest. And then of that, 10% of the people would potentially sign up. So you've got to have this massive, I suppose, reach audience to make a good scalable amount of money from it.
Yeah.
I think that's what some people don't get. They say, well, I'm going to do a group program because it's cheaper, so more people will sign up. Yeah, okay. But then you've got to then reach more people. Whereas if you've got a one-to-one program, which is, let's say, £1,200, you've only got to sell one of those to make decent money for that month, whereas you've got to sell, 10 of the £120 ones.
Yeah.
Which is potentially more work.
I mean, this is my bias, but I've always gone off the process of like maxing out how much my capacity one-to-one. And then I've gone, right, so we can create a group program that then feeds into this. And I've always done it that way. I think I said this at the beginning, like the first video, I don't really enjoy the group program stuff. So for me, naturally, there was this kind of resistance to it anyway. But then it got to that point where that made more sense. So we were doing it and it was okay. I wouldn't say I massively enjoyed it. So again, that's a preference that you learn the things you do like to do with the business side of things. And I'm not saying that that's the right way to do it at all, but there'll probably be other people who love the group side of things. And there are, and that's great as well. But I think it's just knowing that how you want to run the business and what suits your lifestyle and outcomes that you want, and then doing it that way, not because you think or someone tells you you should be doing it this way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. Okay, good. Let's finish it there then, because we've cool. talked a lot, and this is now nearly 3 hours. So an incredible amount of content for someone who's looking to do their group program or create a group program, some do's and do nots. Dan, anything to add at the end?
No, all good. Oh, go and check it out. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, please. Yeah. And if you are listening, watching these videos, please do give us a subscribe and a like and all that sort of stuff, because it does help the algorithm. And obviously, if more people could like my stuff than Dan's, that'd be really good. Because, it's got to have a little bit of like competition there.
I'm okay with that. Going like Tom's stuff. I mean, I'm all right with it.
I think you're playing a game there. I think you should be fighting for your likes as well. Likes don't mean anything, but it is nice to get feedback. So if there's a comment that you want, a question that you have, please do ask, let us know, because we'd love to cover content that is relevant to what you want to know about. Is there something we could help with your business? Is there a specific business question we could help with? Ask it, because we can absolutely do a video on it.
Yeah, do that. Likes fuck all. Just
kidding. Yeah, exactly. Likes don't mean anything, but cool. Okay, Dan, where's your where can people find you?
Bandstrong Collective and .co.uk. Like and subscribe.
Yeah, and follow. And my website's now changed over. Billcoaching.co.uk is now actually a thing. Campaign and, you know, stuff. BCAs everywhere. So, so billcoaching.co.uk or in Instagram is tomblackman_nutrition or tombillcoaching. And YouTube's Tom Blackman. So I'm not as organized as Dan there, but I am on my way. But Dan, see you for next week, which will be part four. No, only joking. It'll be something else. It'll be another 3-part thing about using Canva for YouTube tutorials or something. Well, okay. Bye. See you later, mate. And thanks for watching, everybody. Cheers.